Anything you heard that changes your recommendation, or?
No. We think it's a fairly straightforward. There are obviously some operational challenges here. It's different from what we've done in the past. I think the cash flow profile is attractive. I think it's an attractive build-out of the real asset program. And, you know, to the points that several board members have made, I think we've sized this in such a way that it reflects the fact that there's some frontier risk associated with this. It's, as I said, a highly fragmented market where capital has not come from the outside world. Quite frankly, that gets us excited that there's a problem here that can be solved with capital. There's not a lot of problems that can be solved with capital. So when we see that, that's an attractive entry point for us and gets us interested as a build-out opportunity here. So we think it's an appropriate diversification to the existing program and something that's got potential upside with water reuse down the road.
Yeah, and just tie up to that, if you look at page 9, that would be the real asset profile we have after we have this wastewater fund.
Page 9 of staff's.
I'm sorry. And then.
Not the presentation, but.
And you look at the oil and gas, the black dot, big one, that's the fossil fuel. But this, with this, we will have some biofuel to complement that. And if you look at left to the wastewater infrastructure and power, so if we decide to re-up with EIF, that's natural gas. But with this, it's biogas. So, you know, this, although the amount is not big, but in terms of the profile of the investment, it would complement very nicely to other investment we have.
What are our fees with EIF?
They just launched their new fund, Fund 5.
I know they're starting a new fund, but the last fund that we were in, Fund 4, what were their fees? Do you remember what their fees were?
I'd have to look. I don't recall offhand.
Was it 2%?
It may have been slightly less than 2% on the management fee, but the carried interest was 20. It was a typical private equity structure. So we're
hedge, one of the things that I remember is the hedge fund's fees was a lot of why we didn't go directly into hedge funds. And if I remember correctly, they were 2%. So I'm wondering, is 2% fees for this?
Is it an appropriate number?
Yes.
It's an appropriate number. Now, keep in mind that this board has pursued private equity through fund-to-fund structures where your headline fee is not at 2% and 20, but the underlying funds are going to be on that order of magnitude. They may not be 2 and 20, but they may be 1.5 and a 20% carried interest. So I caution that the fees that the board sees on a regular basis are not the whole picture here. So the 2 and 20 here,
okay,
we're drilling down to the underlying level. We're not paying that.
You're comfortable with it?
I'm comfortable with it. I think it's for a smaller fund. It's an appropriate number. It's on the higher side. We think it's an intriguing opportunity set here.
Oceans, do you remember what we paid for them?
1.75? Yeah. What we're seeing on the direct private equity side is our management fees anywhere in the range of 1.25% to 2.5%.
All right. I'm fine.
Yeah. The smaller and nichier, the more expensive the management fee is, generally speaking.
This strikes me as very high risk. The input from our speakers struck me as sales input, as contrasted to doing input. There's lots of doing required to make this work. I just think this is too high risk and too unknown a background. No current models out there that I got that somebody else has made one of these work somewhere. All kinds of, it ought to work, it should work, it might work, will work, but all has to be done in the future, not been done in the past. From point of view of protecting our principal, I tend to vote no, and just wanted to make sure I stated why.
You know, Adam, what John's saying is the reward doesn't have to take the risk. I agree it's more risky. I'm not a source against us. What about the reward piece of it?
Yeah. I look at this analogous to an opportunistic real estate development, which is where we have a high degree of comfort in terms of the operating model there. So when we talk about doing a real estate development with one of our partners, we're talking to a group of small individuals who basically aggregate expertise and capital and then farm that out to joint venture partners to do the actual construction, the aggregation, the entitlement. So we have outside construction expertise. It's not inherent in Wastewater Opportunity Fund staff. They're going to partner with that outside party. Somebody else is taking entitlement risk, everything else. They're kind of coming together and saying, if someone else will take on the entitlement risk and get it to the point where it's fully entitled, you're ready to go, an outside construction partner with expertise in building these tanks and having putting them together, you bring that in. They're the ones who can say, okay, we're going to bring in capital from pension funds, endowments, foundations, investors, and they're going to bring in contracting expertise both on the inputs and outputs. And they're kind of set that nexus of a number of folks and pull it all together. It can be done by other parties. It can be done by the waste producers. It can be done by the utilities. There's nothing magic about this. They're just the ones pulling it all together here. So in terms of a risk profile, the fact that you're not building these until the contracts are in place, I think maybe one of your points is there's not an existing portfolio that you can look to. But we look at this team, and they have done these deals in the past. They've done the exits. Is it newer and less proven? Yes, but that's a function of this being a more fractured market where we think there's an opportunity here to have first mover advantage.
Yeah, to address your concern, John, they actually had real investment before they launched this fund. And the track record is on page 7 of the staff memo. So without those investments, we probably wouldn't even look at this because they had done this before. And these are operating assets. They still have this portfolio running. And one of the potential investments could be an add-on to these facilities.
Waste Management is a multi-billion-dollar company. What is $200 million to them, that's when we kind of get lost on why aren't they just sort of moving forward with this?
And that's my concern, because we're seeing Republic jumping into it. You're seeing the haulers. Garbage recycling is such a big, big business, particularly green businesses now. And so I don't question the science. Anaerobic digestion, it works, it's great, and it's just whether or not, and their model to me has some potential, because particularly not so much for the municipal waste, not the so much the waste management people. It's more the large companies that do produce waste that they can't put into the sewer system anymore. They can't put into wastewater. You have new clean water, clean water requirements. They're stricter and stricter. So the model has potential to work, but it's really having the right people in place who can be out there getting the entitlements, because that's with the clean water requirements that come saying you can't put this into, the waste stream anymore, are the same ones who are saying you can't just put, an anaerobic digester in the middle of your cornfield either, and you can't just immediately, go ahead and put a grinder where you've got to grind everything up. So I'm concerned, not knowing them, if they have the right players in place to really get the entitlements and really get the feedstock necessary to make this profitable.
The entitlements are not part of the investment process. Somebody's already done that before they come talk to them.
Okay, well, here's a what if. What if, we give them our money and they can't find enough people who can get these entitled? Does the money just sit there and we get it back? What guarantee do we have that they're going to be able to actually, or do we just have them, taking management fees on the money we've provided them, sort of, we couldn't find one, but we hope, next year we'll find somebody. So what what do we get with our money back?
That's always a risk with the private equity structures because we're committing our capital in advance for them to deploy over a number of years. And that's inherent in any kind of private equity structure. The limitation there is they have to deploy the money within the investment period or, you know.
In theory, they return it.
If they don't deploy it, they don't have the right to call it.
Right.
We retain the money.
We're going to retain it until they, okay. And
but
again,
the fees on committed capital, isn't it?
Right.
So
right.
If we commit $25 million, the fee is on $25 million whether they draw it or not.
During the investment period. And if this is a complete failure and they only deploy 50% of the capital, the fees drop to that 50% of capital that was deployed at the end of the investment period.
Okay.
We're at risk during the investment period.
Okay, for me, I know I've talked a little bit negatively about this, but one of the things that made me feel very positive about it is you in page 5, you just, for example, in 2012, there were less than 200 agricultural anaerobic digester systems in the U.S. compared to 7,500 in Germany, okay? So that says to me that they saw something in this and they went with it. And yeah, this is in its infancy and in this area in particular. And I've always kind of liked private equity investments and assess the risks and have been concerned with the risks. I am concerned with the interest rate risk in this investment. But for me, I'm like, you know, you need to make money, we need to make money. This, and it's a $25 million investment, it's not $125 million, it's not $250 million, which are large investments that we've made in the past. And I'm willing to see that we put $25 million out to see how they do and what the return is. We started small with EIF, and look at what EIF has done. You know, we went 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they have been excellent returns for us. So, and it's in the same kind of ballpark. It's an energy company. So, for me, yeah, I'm gonna go for it. For what Germany has done with it, and because you two are saying, yeah, you think it's worth us doing it. So that's where I am. Even though I've had some questions, but that's where I am.
Yeah.
And I would vote for it if there was a motion to make it.
Jerry.
The question for me probably has to do with timing. It's not a matter of the science. The science is there. The regulations are going to be there. It seems to me the very earliest adopters are the big ones, the Anheuser-Busch or something. They can afford to do it themselves and actually make it pay for themselves. To me, the advantage, I think, I'm hopeful, is that it's so fragmented at this point that the other individuals, the smaller one-offs, are going to hopefully be attracted to the ability to consolidate their waste in somebody who has made that scalable option available to them. If the timing is off and it ends up being perfectly feasible for a relatively modestly sized dairy farmer to do it him or herself, then that makes this less attractive. But I think further down the line, the economies of scale are going to be such that it may not be that the 20-year horizon out there is a bunch of consolidated ones. They may make it cost-effective enough for a farmer to do it him or herself. So I would lean toward the timing of this as being attractive now, but it may not be as attractive 5 or 6 years now down the line as a brand new investment.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly not in a private equity structure. These do not make sense stabilized. It makes perfect sense stabilized as infrastructure. It throws off a steady cash flow. I mean, we're looking at this as basically saying, within the real asset program, we're attempting to capture resources that are not manifested directly in financial assets. Metals and mining in the ground. Can we own them, pull them out, economically sell them? Timber, agriculture, what can we do on a very tangible basis with a connection to inflation that's not manifested elsewhere in the portfolio? So in terms of the second part of this is with financial repression that's gone on, all financial assets have accelerated their earnings potential and everything is inflated. So we're looking very carefully and very hard at what is not a financial asset, what has not been priced up, what has not attracted an amount of capital to where we think the future returns are lackluster because you pulled all those returns forward with the low interest rates. And, you know, waste can be viewed as an untapped resource. And I think to the extent that we've looked into this, this is the one that we've identified that says, financially, this makes sense to us. The market is fragmented. There's an issue that can be solved with institutional capital. And it's largely an aggregation issue at this point in time. So yeah, if we get to a point where anaerobic digesters, if Germany has 7,500, if we have 50,000 20 years from now, is it attractive? I don't know. But right now, with a fragmented market and regulations on both sides of this, we see this as something that looks attractive. We think the risk is modest relative to what we've done some in the metals and mining space through our fund of funds partners. And it makes sense as an untapped resource in the real asset realm to us.
How's the farmer and rancher getting the material to these plants?
Trucks.
That's what I was wondering about that.
Think of the opportunity we're missing in Washington, D.C. You could capture the CO2, the methane, you know, basically.
It's like a keystone.
I mean, it would be self-perpetuating. It would just glow in the dark.
Oh, the Secretary of U.S. Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, he actually visited their San Francisco office in January. And he has this big goal, is to put up one animal digester, animal waste digester per week. Yeah, so
I'm ready. I'm going to make a motion that we commit $25 million to the Wastewater Opportunity Fund, sponsored by Equilibrium Capital, and that's after CICERA does a satisfactory on-site visit and legal review. And that's also with the understanding that WOF raises $100 million, excluding CICERA's commitment. I'm going to follow the recommendation as presented by staff. I make that motion.
I'll second the motion for discussion.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand. Keep your
hands up.
Yes. Okay.
Got it?
Mm-hmm. Those opposed, raise your hand. John and Gabe. And abstentions. Motion carries. Okay. moving on, item 8, miscellaneous.